Before we start with today's episode, I want to address a common challenge that I've noticed among HVACR professionals. They often struggle to keep up with the advancements in heat pump technologies. That's why here at the ESCO Group, along with the HVACR Learning Network, we have an amazing library of courses to equip you with the essential skills for handling today's inverter-driven heat pumps. And better yet, we're offering free access to the first two chapters of our most popular course on the fundamentals of high-performance heat pumps. Check out the link in the show notes to get your free access.
Majority of America live in about 24, 26 states. Those states are the ones that can see the difference. They're the ones that want, oh, we got to do something. And it's significant. It's significant because we don't have gardens anymore. We all depend on refrigeration, not just air conditioning. We all depend on our freezer to feed us. We don't do canning anymore. We don't stock up in a cool cellar for the winter and our potatoes and stuff. We don't have those kind of things anymore. So America, the way we're set up, we got to have refrigeration. We got to have scientific refrigeration with our medicines and our foods and our electronics now. And of course, air conditioning, heat's always going to be. So America's, the industry's got America where we want them, but we can't take care of America at this point. We're losing our strong hand, our stronghold on the service side.
This episode brought to you by Johnston Community College, the first choice in higher education for North Carolina communities. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining Did You Know, the ESCO HVAC podcast. Today, we're spending some time with Wayne Arden. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Wayne is an HVACR instructor from Johnston Community College, also nominated as the Faculty Member of the Year. Congratulations on that. That's a big deal.
Thank you. Yeah, I was blessed to get that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Wayne, we've got some big tasks for all of us fellow educators in the next few years, really next decade, right?
Our baby boomers are retiring. Yes.
And they're a big group of people. They're bigger than us Gen X's for sure.
Right.
So how do we fill those boots, right? Our industry's growing. You know, we're starting to see a lot more participation from Gen Z and even Gen Alpha to be in the trades. You know, our programs are starting to grow, but yet we have the potential for having less faculty, right? And the ones that are retiring, you know, that's like our lifeline of information. That's people we learn how to manage the classes from. That's where we, you know, they hand us down a bunch of skills, and then, you know, we go on and build those skills at things like the National HVACR Education Conference, you know, places where we get better. But man, those skill sets of our mentors are crucial. So what do we do as they're starting to fade away?
That's, you know, you hit a lot of key topics there. The retirement group, I know a lot of schools are probably still in the same effect like I am. Our program has literally doubled in the last 2 years.
Really?
Actually, wow. Actually, almost triple, to be honest with you, between our day and nighttime crew. It is unreal trying to keep up with the demand from the employers. One, the demand from the students wanting to get the information is another one. And like you said, hard to find faculty members come in and teach with you. Like me, I had a physical condition with my knees, you know, already been operated on, trying to avoid the knee replacement kind of thing. I kind of looked for a career change, and I just fell into something I loved. Yeah. Which is teaching. And, you know, I always did it in the field every day, training someone, but I never realized how much effect it does when you get in front of 30 people.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you get students stopped by 3 or 4 years after graduated, they stop to see you, have stopped to see you. That means you have made an impact on somebody's life.
Wow.
You've changed someone's life. You changed their family's life. And I've had students come to me and say, hey, I said, man, I know you appreciate what I did for you. They say, Mr. Hardy, you don't understand. You didn't just change my life. You changed my whole family's life. That's pretty astounding when they sit there and look at you real serious. They just want to hug you. It's like, I really did something. So, you know, you can't take that to food line and spend it at a grocery store chain, but it's a really good feeling. You're making a difference in the world, and you're helping people get a career and they can live independently. I have to depend on someone else to say, hey, you get $5 this week. Yeah. You get $3 this week.
Right.
How many hours you want depends on how much you want to make.
Yeah. You can teach them a skill that not only makes money, but, you know, makes their home life easier. I mean, if it wasn't for the trades, I couldn't imagine how much money I would have spent on having people fix things at my own house, right? Because you learn a trade, you're learning everything. You're learning electrical, you're learning plumbing, you're learning lots of construction skills. I think you're right. We have to really start focusing on experienced technicians in the field who may have never thought of themselves as educators before, may have enjoyed teaching people the things that they know, but never really thought about it as a career. And I think that's going to be crucial for us to start handing down the things that we know. I mean, if you think about it, like when I start talking about those, you know, baby boomers that are retiring, they did their job. They came out of the field. They went into classroom. They handed down their knowledge to folks like you and I, and now they're moving along. And now it's up to us to become that next generation of, I don't know, giver backers. I don't know what that ain't even a word, but that's really what we're doing, is we're giving back to the industry and we're making sure to fill those minds and to be able to share those experiences. Because information is one thing, that's great, but knowledge and shared experiences, man, that's what really makes that classroom. That's what makes those students go, I connect with that. I see what you're talking about.
You're exactly right. I mean, you know, you can get someone that's college taught to be an instructor.
Yeah.
And then versus someone that has like 20 years of field experience or 15 years, they come in and use their stories and in their teachings. And it, like you said, the students really relate to it a lot differently. And they understand that you're a real person. You're not just a teacher off the teaching protege. You know, you're actually a real person. You've actually done this. You got dirty. You know, you've had mistakes. You've blown up stuff by accident. I understand, you know, you're real, and they kind of get down with you as far as your level.
Yeah.
And just like when I was coming up, like you said, they pass their knowledge off to us. I was taught, hey, you go to the parts house, end of the counter, you see an old guy talking, slide down there, put your ear out, see what he's saying.
Yeah.
Don't be running your mouth. You need to listen to the older guy. Well, they've earned their time. They've served their sentence in the workforce, as you could say. And it's time for them to retire. And they are going to, it's, you know, the senior service tech age group rose a couple of years last year.
Yeah.
They went from 51, 52 to now it's 53, 54.
Wow.
But if they went up, you know, older, because we're retiring, and a lot of businesses are saying, hey, here's an extra $12,000 bonus, can you stick around another year?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how important this information is to us.
Yeah.
Just like I happen to be lucky and live near Brady Services. It used to be called Brady Train back in the day.
Yeah.
They're one of the big commercial train dealers on the East Coast. So they have a conference every year for our state of all the HVAC instructors. They sponsor and everything. So we come together, bounce ideas off each other, share ESCO stuff, NC Free stuff, whatever accreditations or certifications you're using, and also changes that come to the industry.
Mm.
So a couple of years ago, I've been doing this 4 or 5 years, and I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, Grady had this statistic for us. Out of the 7 baby boomers that are retiring, which is okay, we have 5 people trained. Don't sound too bad, does it? 5 people. But here's the kicker. You have to go through a background check. You have to go through a driver license check. Now we're down to 2, sometimes 3 out of that 5 that can replace the 7, which is a significant number. People are complaining now with 2 or 3 week wait time. Now we're fixing to go to a 2 to 3 month wait time if we don't replace these senior retiring techs.
Wow.
And if 2 to 3 months wait period, you're looking at changing their season.
Right.
We're going to mess around with this industry and the window units we're going to take back over because we can't service what we sold. We don't have the employees. We don't have the personnel. And that's pretty huge. If you can't service what you sold, you're so far behind. Well, so far behind only lasts for a couple of days. The consumer will get tired of that. They will find someone else, or they'll say, everybody I call is busy. Let's go to Lowe's and get a window unit.
Well,
we didn't work this hard in the industry to do that.
No. We've built a phenomenal industry. And, you know, those statistics that you're sharing, I heard the same thing at the UA competition this last summer in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And they were saying that for really the last 8 to 10 years, we've been losing about 10 to 15,000 employees a year, technicians a year, coming out of the industry. And then refilling those is 7 to 8, maybe 10. Right. So when we look at that, yeah, we're starting to lose technicians to retirement. But from the education perspective, boy, that number starts growing exponentially because every educator has that opportunity to impact so many young minds at one time. So how many students do you have coming through your program now a year compared to what it was, say, 5 years ago?
Let's see. Last year we had 35, 37 new students. And then, say, previous to that, 2 years,
it'd be if we could fill a seat of 12, we're doing good.
Yeah.
Which are at the full class, we're good. And then by the time they get to the degree side, they had the option with our school to get a diploma, get a couple local certificates from the school,
right,
and they could also pursue their degree and transfer to PA if they want to, Bachelor's Administration.
Very cool.
Bachelor of Science.
Yeah.
But a lot of them will just come in and get their diploma because they're ready to work, make money, and, you know, go out and come back. So it's not always a full 2 year ride when they come in. But like this year, we have 14 to 16, I think, is tallied to graduate with a degree this spring, which will be our biggest graduating degree class.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 15, 20 diplomas, but we never had 15 plus degree students.
Actual degrees. Yeah. So you've at least doubled, almost tripled. Have you doubled to tripled the amount of instructors that you have?
We did hire another instructor in August. We did find some justification where they could hire another instructor for us.
Okay. So it's showing that, you know, not only are we needing to fill the amount of instructors that we had 5 years ago, we need more than that, mm-hmm, right?
And then good luck finding that one.
Exactly.
Because the industry, if you're a really good senior tech, you know, as good as I do, they're making some decent money.
You'll bet.
I mean, they're not hurt for a dollar. I mean, they're working a bus. Like, you know, they earned every dime they got, but they're really pretty good as far as payroll.
Yeah.
They've also been through life tribulations, so they know how to save a dollar now after they wouldn't wear her twins. So it's kind of hard to find someone on app, especially that has the knowledge.
Yeah.
Because of the competitive salaries. So what I have to sell as me trying to recruit someone, I have to sell the summers off, the spring break, the fall break, the long holiday at like Christmas. You know, you have to sell the school and the benefits more than that. And you also have to sell the relaxation of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Then, hey, man, you're not in the attic. You're not in the crawl space. You're not on top of an extension ladder. You're on a rooftop. You know, wearing air conditioning. Look how I dress, you know. Kind of sell the job, more or less. And then once they get in, most instructors, all the way down to applied engineering, others, they finally, oh, man, I kind of like this. I'm glad you invited it.
Yeah.
That was the same way. So, you know, we all were used to field training. And you know, we're all said, hey, you're going to ride with so-and-so for 4 months. You're going to ride with so-and-so for 3 months. We're all used to training in the field. We didn't know it was teaching. We used to have a whiteboard behind us.
Hmm.
Well, I get in front of my whiteboard now, I'm just as comfortable as I can be. I know I'm where I should be at. And I hope a lot of instructors come across that same feeling. But that really makes a difference in what we deliver if you have that passion for it, rather than just filling a spot with a seat behind the desk. If you have that passion, you deliver it to it, and students can feel it. They know if you're just reading a PowerPoint or if you're actually delivering information.
Yeah.
And it makes an impact. I'll give you another one quick thing before you chime in.
Yeah.
Go back to the school part of the students. I don't just teach electricity. I don't just teach L1 and Comer. I don't just teach recover and reclaim. Before they leave out on my class, starting on Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays, on the way out, hey, y'all make good choices. Y'all be safe out there. Back off the gas pedal. Let someone else drive. Those kind of things get their real jobs. Because background check and driver's license, it's good, you know, always if you want to, but commercial insurance is different. There's no allowances in there, and it's so expensive.
You brought up a good point about, you know, we're really preparing our students for a career, but we're also preparing them for a life in the industry and what's required of us. And those things many times aren't always looked at as highest priorities by our youngest of students, you know, especially as they're getting out there and exploring life. They're now starting to get into their early 20s. They're experiencing freedom. You know, the opportunities for making bad choices are greatly elevated.
Yes.
I remember from that time frame. And so they do have that opportunity, but yet we have that opportunity to help make their choices a little bit brighter and help them understand what those good choices are. So as a school, especially if I'm looking for new instructors, I encourage our technicians that are enjoying those conversations as you have those young techs, because I can guarantee this is resonating with some players right now driving down the road. They've got their apprentice with them in the seat, and they've already been having these discussions. You better be doing the right things. You better be straightening your life up a little bit. You got a great career. All these things we're talking about that we enjoy doing in the classroom, there are already these technicians out there that are hearing this going, yeah, I'm already doing that. And so now could be the time to start thinking about what's those next steps in life. Do you want to be in the attic the rest of your life? Do you want to be in the crawl space the rest of your life? You want to be hauling everything up and down ladders the rest of your life? Or are you ready to start handing that knowledge over to the next generation that has better knees and better backs and are built a little bit better for this? Because I know as I started getting into my 40s is when this, you know, period of my life started developing of looking at what's that, you know, next step. I was fortunate to have a recruiter reach out to me and go, I think you're a teacher and you don't know it. Let me tell you why. And so that's really what we're here to do today is we believe you listening today could be the teacher of tomorrow. You just might need this encouragement from some of us that have made that transition from the field into the classroom and went, okay, yes, I made a big financial cut when I came out of the field, but I also wasn't on call. I also wasn't driving 35,000 miles a year. And so it changed my life and it allowed me to use my body for enjoyment versus using it for making money. And so the quality of life increases very significantly when you make that transition, both physically and mentally, because now we really are. We are moving into a phase of life where we are preparing younger technicians for the career that we've enjoyed, but now we're also preparing ourselves to be able to enjoy our life a little bit more than we have in the past.
You're right. Yeah, that's a great point you put out that because, you know, when we were coming through, I don't know about you, I was just talking to Bert. Yeah. You got 40 hours. That's the minimum. You need to go for 56 or 60 and then you're doing something, you know, don't take no days off. Don't get no vacation. You save that. That's for other people. You ain't got time to take vacation. You got family to think work.
Work.
And that's it. Which is kind of embarrassing because now people come up to me and say, hey, you know, how you doing? What do you do for fun? I'm like, work. No, seriously, what do you do for fun? I'm like, I'm starving for an answer. I don't know.
I want work. Other people's stuff now and I don't charge anything.
Yeah, I mean, but now, you know, the industry, because I guess maybe the newer generation is kind of breaking us out for us. We were scared to, I guess. You never heard this conversation when we were coming through. Work-life balance.
Work-life balance? What is that? That's called paying your bills.
You're expecting me to have a balance? Well, I'm a worker. That's it. So, you know, those kind of things are making our industry a little more appealing, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when a corporation comes through our recruiting days at school, I hear some of the things they're offering to future employees. And I'm thinking, benefits sound really great. The prices are really coming down. They're telling you to take vacation. They don't want you to carry no vacation there. They want you to get your education so you can take over a project leader job. Project manager job. They want you to get promoted to that. They don't want you to be a stagnant technician. Unless you want to be a stagnant technician, they have a problem with that, but they really want to recruit thriving individuals. People are not set up for just average, mediocre. So work-life balance, you know, that's a huge benefit when you come up with the days like we did. It's just work. On vacation you get is Christmas, maybe 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. On that, HVAC, we got to roll.
Yeah.
But what? I have a younger instructor. He actually used to be my student back in the day. And he's in his 20s, late 20s. And he says, Wayne, everybody around your age, my dad's aging up. All y'all know is chop, 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 roll, 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 work. He says, the whole generation is like that. That's all y'all know. That's what we're brought up there.
It is.
We followed the working force that really built America. And now we're just trying to do the best we can to keep it going. They're workhorses. Now they're trying to turn us into it. And they did a pretty good job. But we didn't find anybody to replace our mentors that was to us. And that's where we got a, whoa, it's like, it's a big moment now.
Yeah, not for sure.
You know, you mentioned that stat while earlier. Going over to 10 to 15,000 jobs for 8 years, we're pushing 100,000 jobs we lost to the industry.
That's exactly right.
And that's a lot when you spread it out through the states. I mean, you got your heavily populated states. They feel it the worst. But your other states not heavily populated. They feel it not quite as bad. But when you got majority of America living in, 24, 26 states, those states are the ones that can see the difference. They're the ones that are going, oh, we got to do something. And it's significant. It's significant because we don't have gardens anymore. We all depend on refrigeration, not just air conditioning. We all depend on our freezer to feed us. We don't do canning anymore. We don't stock up in a cool cellar for the winter and our potatoes and stuff. We don't have those kind of things anymore. So American labor set up, we got to have refrigeration. We got to have scientific refrigeration with our medicines and our foods. and our electronics now. And of course, air conditioning, heat's always going to be. So America's, the industry's got America where we want them, but we can't take care of America at this point. We're losing our strong hand, our stronghold on the server side.
I agree.
You know, the industries, the partners, the manufacturers need to think about this too. I know some of them are really trying. There are some that stepped up. I've seen it. But you got to realize, if you make a red box that does heating and air, it's just a red box, you know, put a name on the side of it, you can sell 1,000 of them if you want to a leak. But if nobody can service them, they're not going to put them in. People are going to stop buying them. And we don't want that to happen because we all build up, no matter what color badge you like on the side of a machine, whether it's a Carrier, your Marine, whatever, we all have favorite badges. But at the end of the day, if you can't service it, and you all you can do is sell it, you really ain't done your consumer any good either. Mm-hmm. So, and in business, you got to take care of your consumer and on your side. So being a contractor in this industry has a lot of obstacles to come across.
Mm-hmm.
But we always dig and grind to get through them. This one about replacing the work staff is not so much of a dig and grind like we used to do. This is something we've got to really implement. We've got to plan out. And we got to get the United States on this, not just a state or two states. Not just a manufacturing or two manufacturers. It's got to be a whole industry effect. And you know, like you said, how do we do it? That's one of the reasons I came to you. Let's talk about it. Let's get the other guys that are smarter than you and I just listen to us, hopefully. Maybe they can feedback and say, hey, Cliff, I got an idea for you. And that's something we can just run and roll with. You know, we gotta
try something.
Absolutely.
Can't stay stagnant.
And that's it. We cannot stay stagnant. We need to start looking at ways we can give back to the industry. Even if I am a senior technician and I'm not ready to commit to a full-time job in teaching, there are many educational institutes that are looking for adjunct instructors, part-time instructors, doing classes, filling in these voids, passing down that knowledge. So I highly encourage you, if you're not ready to make that big step, that full-time adjustment, put your toes in the water. See what it's like, because I'll about guarantee you, once you step into that classroom and you come home from that first night, and you go, wow, that was interesting. And then that first student comes back to you and says, what you said and what you did has changed my life. You will be hooked. There is no doubt about it. So absolutely. I encourage you to reach out to your local programs, reach out to your community colleges, learn about what they need and ways that you can help. So Wayne, what are some ways that our audience can connect with Johnston Community College to learn more about the program and potentially have some conversations about training and education?
Well, of course, the community college has a webpage. I'm going to put it out. And on our homepage, if you can go on there and get your programs.
Yep.
And we have like a construction technology tile. You just click on that tile and it takes you to our HVAC program. And you can see on our webpage when we have degree options, your diploma options, your local certificates for your college options. And it's all laid out in the semesters. And it's designed, ours is designed for you to come in and go out in 4 semesters. We don't do a summer schedule because we do encourage all of our HVAC students to get a part-time job, especially after their first year. Because when they get their first part-time job, that's when the theory starts clicking to them. And they get to get them to come back to you on the second year, you really got a different student than you had the first year. It's like, all right. And it really makes a big difference on that side. But as far as us, you can always look on the website. We have some things on there. Like I said, we have Snyder Electric, one of our sponsors for our building automation side. And that's a huge support deal too. And they can always, my phone number's up there. You can always call me or my director, my boss, right above me. Maxie Kirby is always good to talk to. And of course, any instructors, you can find a phone number from HVAC. We're all open-minded and we're always looking to share. All my crew that I work with is really great as far as sharing knowledge, reaching out with students. You know, if you just call, leave us a message, we'll return a phone call. We have no problem. I mean, we do have competitive colleges, but we do share each other. You know what I'm saying? So, you just reach out on the website. We're always there. And just leave us a message and we'll be glad to get back with you.
And that web address is johnstoncc.edu. Encourage you to check them out, learn a little bit more, and come visit us at the National HVACR Education Conference. If you want to see what it's like to make that transition from the field to education and talk to instructors, that's where we'll be. So we look forward to seeing you. Can't wait to hang out there. And we appreciate you joining us today, Wayne.
Yes, sir. I enjoyed it too. Thank you for having me on today.
You're very welcome.